us, for our Lois's mom and dad, and for our children at home, especially while we're over in Papua New Guinea. It's just a real blessing to know that God works on behalf of people's prayers. And we just are really thankful to you for your prayers, for your support as we're over there. And we're thankful this morning for the assembly over there is growing. And tonight we're going to look a little bit at the work in the Kafe tribe. It's been a difficult time with a lot of fighting in the last year and a half. And some of that seems to be settled off. But it's been exciting to actually find tribes that our tribe is so big that it actually wraps around smaller tribes. And we found out through a brother that's a national man over there that he wants us to help because there's at least six villages wanting us to come and teach the Word of God. And those are in the tribal language. Our language is Kafe, and these other ones are Kanite and Kayagana. Now, you won't remember those, but we'd appreciate your prayers that God will continue to open doors and that we'll have opportunities to start new assemblies and new works. And there's one village I've been asked to pray for, and that's Oza. So if you can remember Oza, just keep praying for that village. They're settling some difficulties they've had with a neighboring village, but again, the Lord's been working in their hearts, and they're anxious for us to come teach, but they don't want us to come until they've actually settled their problems. Well, problems are better solved with the Lord Jesus Christ than them trying to solve their problems, but keep praying for the village of Oza. Let's just bow in a word of prayer before we begin. Heavenly Father, we thank you again this morning for the Word of God, and we thank you, Father, this morning that we are forgiven for those of us who have placed our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, what a wonderful thing to know that we have forgiveness of sins. Father, nothing that we did or we could do or to earn your favor, it's all in this one person, in the Lord Jesus Christ, who took away our sin problem. And Father, we just thank you for him dying on the cross of Calvary. Father, as we sang this morning, we pray that if there's one here today that has not put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and does not know what it means to be born again, I just pray that that would be today. Father, we thank you for your word and just pray that it would speak to each one that's come out this morning. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. I like normally speaking through a book, but when I come home, I find myself catering to what seems the Lord leading me to different topics that I find needful amongst the assemblies at home. And this morning, I'd like to look, hopefully this is on, I'd like to look at the idea of autonomy. And though the word autonomy, like rapture and trinity, in other words, is not found in the Word of God, we find that it is a principle and a pattern within the New Testament. So I'd like to take a little look at that this morning. Definition then, the Greek word means auto-self or nomos law, meaning self-law or self-governing. So in the assemblies, we don't look to outside control. Again, there's many examples we'll look at this morning. I was renovating our place in Papua New Guinea, and they heard that I was taking out the woven bamboo. Well, I'm trying to think in English here, but it's hard for me to get this all the right words in. But this woven bamboo wall, or what'll I say, sheeting, or whatever you'd call it here, I was tearing out the old stuff, and of course, different people from our village that I was learning who they were visiting and saying, "Can I have some? Can I have some?" Because they would use it on their home again. And there was a pastor and another missionary, both from churches that do not preach the gospel. And they happened to come into my master bedroom and asked if they could have some. And I said, sure. And so they both were kind of chatting back and forth. And they looked over at me and they said, "When you someday teach the word in this village, what name will you follow?" And I said, "What do you mean, what name we follow?" "Well, you know, there's different churches around that have their denominational names. What name will you follow?" And I said, the one that's in the Bible. And they looked back and forth at each other, bewildered. And so they said, "What do you mean, what name in the Bible?" I said, "Well, what did Paul do when he taught?" And they said, "Well, he just talked about there was a church in Jerusalem and there was a church at Antioch and that." And I said, "Well, that's what we'll do." And he looked over at the other guy and he said, "You better sit and pay attention. This guy's making sense." And it wasn't anything that I said, but it's sad that so many churches today, even those that might teach the gospel, feel that there has to be something separate or some separate head or some other bit of ruling or direction. And if we look in the Word, we find that our only head is really the Lord Jesus Christ. Three aspects of the local church then are self-governing, self-supporting, self-propagating, self-governing then, meaning self-regulating or self-determining, self-supporting, supporting or maintaining without reliance on outside aid, and self-propagating to spread a report, a doctrine, a practice from person to person. And all that would be under the one head, the Lord Jesus Christ. The definition of church, church was a word that I believe that King James felt strong that it needed to be in the Word. The word ecclesia is found in 115 places in the New Testament and is translated in English 113 times church, and the remaining times it is translated assembly. And so the word here, ecclesia, church, ek is out, and ecclesia means to call or to call out of. In New Testament times, the word was exclusively used to represent a group of people assembled together for a particular cause or purpose, and it was never used exclusively to refer to a religious meeting or group. And our word in the cafe, the word is mono, and mono simply means to come together, to call out a group for a purpose, to gather together. And so that's what we, the church, are as a called out gathering. And here, this picture I put there, now I expect you remember all these words that I'm going to give you this morning, but this dug out piece of log has a little, we would say, a little fenced off area, a ditch inside of it, as they would say. But it's actually quite large. It can be up to 10 feet long and stand about 3 or so feet high. And you use sticks to beat inside of it, and then you would call out to the neighboring villages to come together for some sort of a meeting. And so that would be a gathering. That would be like an ecclesia or ecclesia. Ecclesia, I guess, is the right way to say that. So that's what the purpose of this, and this is called a garamut. So I'm going to test you later, okay? See how you do with it. Two aspects about the church is the universal church or the local church. If we look in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, Jesus would say, "Upon this rock I will build my church, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is a savior of the body," Ephesians 5:23. These are verses speaking about the universal church, and I know most of you probably already know this as I'm looking around here. This is probably nothing new to you, but the universal church includes all believers everywhere, regardless of where they meet. Some of them may meet in some different churches of different denominations, and some of them are meeting in assemblies like we meet today. Here again, back in the days of Paul, churches like Colossae, Galatia, Philippi, Corinth, Jerusalem, Ephesus, Antioch, all these local churches all over the world would make up all the saved people. And of course, some people have passed on now, but the universal church is then all saved people all around the world from wherever they might be, representing people from all different local churches. The local church, however, in Acts 20:28, it says, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." And then 1 Timothy 3:5, "For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God?" And the important thing here is that I want to make a point of today is that elders, leadership within a church, within a local church, is only within that local church. It's to the flock, not to many flocks. If somebody was to look after his own house, it's after his own house, it's not many houses. And so the whole idea is here is that Christ is the head of the church, not some other foreign head that would come in the middle of that and have some other place in other values. And I think that's where we see, I've seen over time, whether it's in Papua New Guinea here, where people stray from the New Testament pattern. I was just recently talking to a man, and he's not from an assembly as we are here, but he goes to a community-type church. And one had started and is very evangelical, and then they started a daughter church. And so he was asking me, he said, he was talking to the elders of the mother church, we'll call it, and he said, I know we're still young, but he said, how will we look in a few years down the road? And the elders from the mother church said, well, nothing will change. We'll look like we are today. But he says, when we stand on our own feet, he said, won't we have our own elders and be operating on our own? And the other elders said, no, we'll always be the elders here. And when you look at that in the Word of God, that is something that violates autonomy. And somebody from this assembly can't possibly know that well what's happening in Summerside Bible Chapel. What's happening in Summerside Bible Chapel is something that the elders can oversee and look after in that chapel, and elders here can look after things here. A few years ago in Halifax, some of the assemblies thought, well, maybe it'd be a good idea if we kind of could share the work. Nobody was thinking about anything bad, but they were thinking about sharing the work and that, maybe giving some of the elders a break, I don't know, and that there would be a big area of elders over a number of meetings. But again, there would be no possible way for elders to know what's going on in another meeting and try to properly handle before the Lord what's going on in those meetings. And unfortunately, as many know, probably we have a bigger problem in Nova Scotia with certain types of assemblies or churches where there's assemblies in England and they would have jurisdiction about what's happening over, maybe even in Nova Scotia, and in regards to how things are operating in a church or how sin is handled. And so I've seen situations where assembly in England would say, well, we won't have anything to do with you anymore if you don't follow our lead on this. And then that assembly be split off from this whole group. And I think that that's something very foreign to the Word of God. Again, to the local church, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them which are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. And in 1 Thessalonians 1:1, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Romans 16:16 says, the churches of Christ greet you. So here's a letter, 1 Corinthians, and it's a letter to the church that is at Corinth. And he was speaking to a group of Christians in Corinth who met together to worship. And in Romans 16:16, here is the universal. He's talking about the universal church in a sense, because he's talking about individual local churches. They greet you. The local church has a geographic location, either unassembled or assembled. You might be from the Sticks of Cornwall, or you might be a downtown city slicker from Charlottetown, but wherever you're from, if you're here this morning and you're in fellowship at this assembly, you represent this believers from this fellowship, from this assembly here. And Acts 14:27 says, and when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. So again, as the church came together, as Paul, he was at home on his first missionary journey, and he gathered the people, whether they were unassembled or whether they were assembled together, they were the local church of that area. And it's the same thing today. Local assemblies are guided by elders from that assembly. The local church, when fully organized, has elders, and those in fellowship are to submit themselves to the rule of the elders. And here in Hebrews 13:17, it says, obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. So again, the submitting here is not talking about submitting to elders in some foreign place, but it's talking about submitting to the elders in this local assembly. So my point all about this is just to show you that autonomy is something that is a New Testament church pattern. Okay, the local church is not a denomination then, but is simply a group of Christians who have come together for the purpose of, and I've listed just a few, but Ephesians 4:12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Acts 2:42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And then 2:47 of Acts, and they were praising God and having favor with all people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So the whole purpose for the church is to come together, and it's just simply a group of called out people that are saved, that know the Lord, gathered to the name of the Lord, and is not a denomination and is not underneath some denominational head. And when I say denomination this morning, I want you to know that there are denominations out there this morning that are preaching the gospel and are making very clear gospel. I've been in different Baptist churches, and if you happen to go somewhere, you find yourself in a job, and it takes you to, say, I think I can pick on the state of Vermont, probably maybe one or two or three assemblies, not many assemblies in the state of Vermont. And if you ended up going to a Baptist church, I would encourage you to look at what kind of a meeting it is, because it really varies greatly. There's a big difference between going to a convention Baptist, where you might, in Nova Scotia, there are convention Baptists that would maybe never preach the Word of God or never preach the gospel message. And then there are convention Baptists where you would hear, because New Brunswick Bible Institute has put pastors that teach the Word and preach the gospel. So you'd want to watch, because there's, like I said, there's convention Baptists, the fellowship Baptists, independent Baptists. There's Bob Jones Baptist. Again, Bob Jones Baptist, if I'm right, would have a head pastor, and he would be kind of an overseeing pastor, telling the other pastors what to do in other local Baptist churches. So you'd really want to do your review, as we do on the internet, and do a little Google search if you wanted to, or especially ask around brothers who may know about where you're going. But I thank the Lord for pastors who are standing in pulpits today and preaching the Word of God and seeing people come to know the Lord. Okay, you asked me what this is. This is a map from the province of Medang. Medang is a province in Papua New Guinea, and there's 21 provinces in Papua New Guinea, and this province has 182 languages. And 182. Actually, that's the one I use when I think I've shared here before. We say, when you say, I am happy in my language, you say, Nagara Musehwe. And in one of these languages here, up in the mountains, very high in the mountains, 7,000 feet up, they would say, Kushuk, Kushuk, Ashuk. And can you imagine, especially years ago, going to a place like Papua New Guinea and deciding that you're going to have a head church, or you're going to have a head bishop, or you're going to have overseeing elders? They're not going to know what to say in that neighboring tribe that's over the mountain. They don't know what they're talking about when they're talking about whatever they're talking about. And one of the things that really impressed me, and I hope I can drive this home today, is two things I really want to drive home as a missionary representing missions. And one is that we need the Word of God translated in languages where they do not have the Word of God. It's very important that people have that. There are African languages today where Wycliffe is working right now, where there have been people saved for many years, and I'm jumping ahead of myself a little bit here, but where there are people been saved for many years and they do not have a Bible in their own language. That can be a state for disaster, because the Bible has to be our sole authority. And if it's not, then anything can happen. And so, we tried to teach these people in Papua New Guinea that as they go out and preach others, the nationals, that that they will see that pattern and not start some sort of a... I know one group has... They're a fellowship of national churches, and they've decided to start dues, like union dues. And I don't know what it's for, but it always gives me a bit of a worry as they start grouping together and trying to keep themselves the same. But sometimes when you go into different local churches, if you go to Papua New Guinea, or if you go to Iran, or if you go to different countries, you'll see different cultures. And some of them are sitting on a bamboo woven floor with a grass roof. We're not sitting like that, thank the Lord. Otherwise, I think snow might be coming through eventually pretty quickly. But I hope that as we see different cultures come into Charlottetown, into PEI, that we're open to maybe changing. Maybe someday there won't be pews here. I don't know what it'll look like. But are we ready to be led of the Lord to allow other cultures to come in and to fellowship with us I hope we are. There's just an amazing amount of cultures, Syrians and people from different countries that are moving into Nova Scotia. And I'm just hoping that people are open to people from different cultures, to fellowship with them. God gives us a pattern throughout the New Testament, especially in the book of Acts, of how the local assembly should function. And that function, that pattern should be seen across all assemblies, across all churches around the world, but it's not. The culture will be different. Like I said, what you're sitting on might be different. Maybe what's used for, what's used for musical instruments may be different. But hopefully the teaching of the word and the pattern, these assemblies back in the day of Paul, from Antioch over to Lystra, all the way over to Smyrna and places like that, they were from different places. And if they're all linked together under one denomination, and that denomination has a problem, then it hits all of them, and it affects all of them. And I think if I'm right, the Anglican Church faced a real problem with it when they dealt with the issue of homosexuality. And I put the dominoes there, not because I like playing dominoes, but if you push one domino, then they'll all go down. And I think that's what they felt, and so have other churches when they've dealt with that. So if there's individual assemblies, then if there's a problem that happens over in our assembly in Dartmouth, then maybe people from Charlottetown would encourage us to how to maybe fix a problem, but they wouldn't actually come over and say, okay, clear out of the way, you guys, you don't know what you're doing. And believe me, I've seen that happen not too long ago, where a group of elders said, let's go down, let's move these elders out of the way, and let's place a new group in there so that we can do what we want to in there, because there's some sort of a head that functions over them. I found this on the internet or somewhere, and I just thought I'd put this up here. It says, First Church, we accept all denominations, preferably 20s and 50s. Anyway, if that doesn't make sense to some of you kids, it didn't make sense to all the youth. Denominations can also mean those, like a $20 bill or a $10 bill also is a denomination. Okay, the Word of God. I've already mentioned this, but we'll just go over it again. The Bible is a sole authority for faith and practice. The Bible alone determines what we must believe and do. And 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And I point out that word, all. The Word of God is what we want to follow and what we look for direction. Again, I was mentioning that tribe in Africa where they don't have the Word of God. It's very difficult to follow the Word of God if you don't have it. A friend of mine who's been a pastor in churches was actually talking to somebody who calls himself a reverend from a church that we see doesn't preach the gospel. And they were talking about the book of Revelation, and he responded. He says, oh, well, I just think that John just was having a bad day, and he was probably on drugs and was having all these dreams and wrote up the book Revelation. And, well, I have a lot higher thinking of what the Word of God is, and if we don't have the Word of God as our standard, then we'll go in any direction. And that's what I love telling the people of Papua New Guinea. We have cults that come in, and they'll run around and say, we're the true church, and they love to talk about last days. And but I've taught, they've said, well, how will we handle these people? We don't know the Word that well, especially when they were young. And I said, you can ask them a simple question. Could you please just show me where that is in the Bible? And of course, one church runs around and says, oh, you don't worship on the Sabbath day, you worship on Sunday, so you worship the sun god. And they said, okay, could you show me where that's in the Bible? And that stumps them every time. And so our people are growing as they gain some confidence. They're able to look into the Word and share what the truth is and what God wants His people to do. Philippians 4:15, now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity. I share this verse because the church at Philippi felt free to send money directly to Paul. They didn't feel like they had to contact the church at Thessalonica and say, oh, can we do this or can we not? or the Church of Thessalonica was not a receiving and distributing. I have a word problem now with distributing. I never know whether it's distribute or distribute. But anyway, it wasn't a receiving and distributing church of funds or something like that, which some have decided to do. I think that's in clear violation of autonomy. The Church of Philippi felt they could act autonomously and send Paul these gifts. And also Paul, when he worked in 2 Corinthians 11:8, he said he took wages from other churches, and those churches would send directly to Paul and didn't send to some central head and or to some certain assembly, as in this case, those funds were sent directly to him. Again, in reference to elders, 1 Peter 5:2 says, "Feed the flock of God, which is where? Which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind." So the elders would, of course, look after the assembly, take the oversight of those people that were among them, their particular assembly, not a neighboring assembly or something like that. Acts 14:23 says, "And when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed." So they ordained elders, plurality, plural, in every church, singular, in each assembly, on whom they, and of course they did it with prayer and fasting. And Acts 20:28 says, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." So again, I think these are evidence that self-governing is a clear pattern within the Word of God. Titus 1:5 says, "For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city, as I appointed thee." Again, they were, those assemblies back then would have been bigger assemblies and smaller assemblies. They would have been assemblies that were in they were from different cultures. Lystra was very, very different in its culture compared to Antioch. There were poorer assemblies. There were richer assemblies. It didn't matter where they came from. The goal was to establish elders in each local assembly. When I was home last time, I went to visit an assembly that's in Mississauga, Ontario. I don't know, has anybody ever been here to New Life Bible Chapel? Anybody going to New Life Bible Chapel? I was the only white person there, Lois and I, and they're mostly people, believers from India and Pakistan and a few from Africa, and they were just really lovely Christian brothers, and we just had a really good time of fellowship. But the thing that was different there again was it was a building with three auditoriums. And so you walked into this place, and there was a central foyer, big foyer. And over here was an auditorium. There was one, and there was one. So over here was the Presbyterian Church, and over here was the Anglican Church, and over here was New Life Bible Chapel. And I thought, boy, what an opportunity. You know, if you got your, I'm sure they planned the times differently, but I was scheming, of course. But I thought, you know, after you're all done, and I've preached my message, or whatever, or the preacher's preached his message, there was the Anglican minister, a lady. When they come out of the meeting, you could practice on, you know, seeing some get saved or something like that. I don't know, but a different setting, and maybe something we're not used to, but this was an autonomous meeting, and it was meeting together for the purpose of growing in the Lord, for purpose of fellowshipping together, as I mentioned in the book of Acts, and for sharing the gospel. So we here in the open assemblies, as called open assemblies, we mean we're welcoming other brothers and sisters in Christ to break bread with us here, if they're walking in the Lord. And chapels, Bible chapels, such as we meet here today with Charlottetown, are open assemblies, but are autonomous meetings. In Galatians 1:2, it says, "And all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia," each assembly has its own elders to provide leadership for the meeting. As the assemblies, whenever they were born, became separate independent churches and were able to function as New Testament assemblies, were able to administer their own government without having a separate head to govern them. So we have one head, and that's Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1:22 says, "And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all." We have no separate head, and our only head is Jesus Christ. And by his Holy Spirit and through his Holy Word, elders are able to look to the Lord in such a way that they do not need to look at a separate earthly head to carry out the duties of the assembly. And finally, coming towards the end here, passage in Acts 11, it says, "In these days came prophets from Jerusalem into Antioch, and there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be a great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul." Here the apostles, the church that was at Antioch, felt convicted to help the Judean churches. They didn't feel like they had to go over, and they didn't go over and take over the work, said, "Hey, you guys aren't doing the right job, so we're going to run things now." They sent money over by the hand of Paul and Barnabas, and they let that assembly, the Judean churches, distribute that money as they saw fit how to take care of it. And that was a responsibility that was exclusively for the elders of that specific assembly in Judea. Acts 14:23 says, "And when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed." And I just wrote down what somebody else had written. It's easy to see that God's plan for his church was for each assembly in each place to be self-governing. What is not seen in autonomy is there was no sponsoring assembly, no area elders, no controlling board, no Sunday school society, and no district bishop. And in closing on this topic, every local assembly governs itself without interference from any other assembly, council, or man. Every local assembly is independent, although it may identify itself with other assemblies for fellowship and mutual support of the gospel. And again, I think that's a wonderful thing when we can have conferences and youth retreats and be working together as assemblies to see others come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. If there's anybody here today that is not a part of the universal church, of the family of God, I trust that you'll come to know who the Lord Jesus Christ is and what he's done for you. The Bible says, except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And if you've not put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, please, we'd love to talk to you. There's lots of men and women here today. And if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you don't know if your name is written in the book of life, we'd love to talk to you after the meeting. Please don't let this day go by. And this evening, we'll look at what the Lord is doing in the Kaphe tribe. Thanks so much for your coming, and we'll just close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the word of God. We thank you for each brother and sister that's come out today, and we just pray that as Satan would like to wreak havoc in local assemblies, Father, help this assembly and many assemblies to stand strong upon the word of God. And as change comes, Father, on the outside, Father, help us here on the inside to stand strong and to stand firm upon the word of God, on doctrine and truth, as we've seen it in the book of Acts and throughout the word. Father, help us to trust the Holy Spirit and to submit to those who are in leadership here as elders. And Father, may we work together as a family of God locally here to reach out others lost, to seeing many saved, and Father, maybe even some would go and translate the word of God in other languages and even go and preach the word of God and see local assemblies established in other parts of the world. Just pray that you would bless each one here this morning as they go to their homes. And as we come back at 6:30 again, Father, may your word speak to us throughout this day. And we thank you for all of your love to us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you.